I think everybody has thought about writing their own book, right? Do you find that?
Yeah.
I've got a book in me, right? Everybody thinks they have a book in them. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we strive for ways to achieve those two goals and we invite folks on to help us. And that's why today I'm so excited that we're joined by Grace O'Donnell. Grace is a superstar. She is the COO of Leaders Press, which is a USA Today and Wall Street Journal best-selling press, where she creates books for entrepreneurs like us from scratch and launches them to bestsellerdom with a 100% success rate, which is pretty impressive. She runs a hybrid publishing house with traditional distribution via Simon & Schuster, through which more than 500 entrepreneurs have been able to share their stories with the world. And 133 of Leaders Press authors have become USA Today and Wall Street Journal, USA Today and Wall Street Journal best-selling authors. Grace herself has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and numerous other outlets. And her mission, which I love, is to help 10,000 entrepreneurs to share their wisdom with the world by 2030. Grace, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me and for the warm welcome. Yeah, I'm delighted to be here. Especially, it's a little bit chilly. I'm here in Portugal, so it's fun.
it's unseasonably warm here. I'm in Boston. Ooh. And yeah, normally now we could be having snow or some really, really extreme weather, but instead it's 57 degrees, which is, you know, unheard of for us.
Wow.
So what is that? Let me think. That's like 14 in the middle of winter, which is, you know, good for
us. That's funny because it's 14 here and we're all like, oh, it's so cold.
Yeah, we're like, oh, it's 14. If I brought you to the front, you know, where you could see the street, you'd see people running by in shorts because they're like, whoa, it's so warm. This is fantastic. Yeah, it's we're like that.
everyone is in their puffer jackets and like, gotta take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's lovely. Sometimes it's nice to have the different seasons because in Portugal, it's basically just 25 degrees the whole year round and sunny. And so you kind of forget, oh, wait, it's winter. Like the run up to Christmas, you're a bit like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't be in like California or someplace really warm during Christmas time. I like the cold.
Yeah.
But then it can go away in February. That'd be fine. Or January even.
Yeah.
You just want that one month.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
So Grace, tell me about how you got started in this. Tell me about your like early life and anything that you think would be fun to share about your past.
Oh, sure.
So you weren't born in Portugal.
No, I grew up in Ireland. Kiss the Blarney Stone, the gift of the gab. Always knew I would kind of go into storytelling and loved it. But it kind of took a while to find my path to what kind of storyteller, well, what medium I wanted to be. I worked a lot kind of in the photography and then as a videographer. I did like a few feature films and so on and loved it, but wasn't quite having the impact I wanted. And so then about 3 years ago, I came to Leaders Press and just been really happy with getting people the written word out there for everyone. So I did psychology, and I think that's kind of where my love of people comes from and learning about the world and why I really enjoy working with our authors and getting to know them and telling them their story. You know, I just love listening to different people, like very interesting people's stories. I really like the astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Someone asked him, oh, if you could know anything about the universe, what would it be? And he was like, I'd love to know more about the human brain. And I was like, yeah. Even someone who, you know, figures out how the universe started is really interested in us humans and how we work. And I think that's kind of what drives me in whatever kind of medium I'm working in.
Interesting. So I'm kind of interested in that transition because it seems to me publishing, you'd have so much to learn. Did they sort of teach you, or you just had some natural innate ability to step right into that role?
Well, so I started off project management and interviewing when I first started, and I had done years of interviewing for documentaries for filmmaking. So I was very good at kind of, I think the most difficult thing in any book or any movie is the structure. If like one of my favorite writers, William Goldman, said, you know, it doesn't matter if you can write beautiful dialogue or anything, it's the structure that makes or breaks a movie, or in this case, a book. And so I think I had kind of a lot of the really, the things that take years to learn, which is kind of how to craft a story, how to craft a narrative, how to get people to open up and relax and kind of give you their best selves in an interview already. And then the rest is kind of just details of, oh, you know, you need an ISBN, obviously, you need an LCCN. I don't know, I presume everyone knows what an ISBN is. It's just the
I would think, yeah, that little barcode on the back of the book that gives you the identification number.
Okay, great, great.
I would hope, but no, I'm glad you brought that up, because probably not everybody does realize that it has a name, that little thing that they see on the back of every book.
And so just kind of learning the ins and outs of the industry, but Alenka, our CEO, is an absolute tour de force. So it's always really fun learning from her, just watching her in action and how much she knows. And, you know, she's really, marketing is her superpower. I think a lot of, you know, she started as an author, and I think a lot of authors are kind of a bit, have a romanticized version of like selling their books. And she just is very like, who's the audience? What's the hook? How are we going to get this sold? And I think that's great. I think that's what you need, because, you know, people are like, this is my baby. And she's like, yeah, but you want your baby to be read by as many people as possible. And so she's just been a phenomenal teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so, it's interesting in the art world, right? The people who are creating the art are not the right people to be marketing it, because they're not, right? It's just a completely different skill set, or a completely different talent, really.
Yeah, 100%. It's so interesting, that kind of marriage of commercial and art, and all of these industries are businesses. And I think a lot of artists, you know, struggle with that, but then a lot of business people can't write good books. So it works out perfectly for us being a hybrid publisher and kind of catering to, people who don't want to write their own book.
Yeah. So it's not ghostwriting, right? You're actually, it's the person, or is it?
No. So we do ghostwrite, but we have a process that we've kind of perfected over the years, which is we co-create an outline with you. So you come and you have your book concept. I always compare it to a pregnancy. You know, you conceive it, you come up with that idea, and then about 9 months later, after a lot of stress and effort, you push something beautiful out into the world. So we'll work with you in an outline. And then based on that, we come up with questions for our interviews. And then you'll have a series of 12 to 15 hours of interviews, which you'll prepare for, you know, do any research. But very often our authors will already know their material very well, because, you know, they'll have been working in their businesses for years. So it's just, you know, getting to talk about what they love and do every day. The important part of our project managers is to make sure that those conversations are always very focused on moving the narrative forward and getting material for that. Then we have a team of just amazing, amazing ghostwriters. Megan Okonski, I have to shout out particularly, is our lead writer. And she, one of her books, Awakening, just appeared on Good, it was spoken about on Good Morning America and CBS, I think, with Areva Martin, which was just really exciting, because it was just a really kind of well-researched how women can do better in the workplace. Full of just useful information. And so so then it goes to our writers, and then it's our author's feedback, and the ghostwriters take that into account. It's a very collaborative process. And then editing, quality assurance, formatting, preparing the market materials, and actually printing, publishing, getting distributed by Simon & Schuster into shops. Whew. So that's it. And it all happens in the space of 9 months to a year. So we run a tight ship. Yeah, but I love it. There's always something new to learn. There's always a new problem to solve. And yeah, it's just wonderful, I think, when people come to us with an idea, you know, and then a year later, they're holding their book in their hands at a bookstore.
Wow. And are they the same questions? I mean, are you kind of interviewing people with the same sets of questions each time, or is it very unique for the person?
No, it has to be completely unique. And that's one of the things I do is train the PMs on different kind of interview techniques. You know, there's the five whys of Kaizen, where you're really trying to get to the root of an issue, which is, why did that happen? And then why did that happen? And why did that happen? And so on. But there's a bunch of other interview techniques that are really useful as well. I've taken stuff from even the CIA have some interesting, well, I guess it makes sense, interview techniques. But don't worry, you won't feel like you're interrogated. And then a lot has to be very specific to their niche. So for instance, I just finished a book on trade finance. I don't know if you know anything about trade finance. I certainly didn't. Yeah, it's about financing trade deals, but the difference is it's not money lending. They actually will literally buy the asset, whether they're funding the start of it, the person who is purchasing it, or the person who is selling it, but for a period they will hold it, which means that it's much more secure. And so it's guaranteed, but it's really fascinating because it used to be something that was huge around the world. We called it merchant banking, and it's kind of become much quieter now, except for in Japan. Interestingly enough, they still have huge merchant banks and merchant banking, but it's something that will be needed more than ever, especially since, you know, Corona pandemic, everything, the world has become so, the markets have become so unstable. So there's actually a greater need for it than ever, and it's really growing. And so we wrote a book about how to invest in it. And so it was such a fascinating topic for me because I hadn't known anything about it. And so I really had to deep dive with the author, reading thousands of articles and books. But I mean, that's part of the fun for me, is like just getting to learn about all these different worlds. And like, it's very much a collaborative thing that I will do with you. And yeah, I love it.
Interesting. Is there any sort of similarity between the different authors who you work with, as far as like, why would some, what's the, I don't want to say like the description, or what's the commonality between the people who would be in a situation where they want you to do their book for them or with them?
No, that's a great question. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, your knee-jerk reactions to say no, they're all so different when you've worked with them because they've all done amazing books, but obviously they're all entrepreneurs. It kind of divides into two different categories. There's either lead generators, people who are looking to grow their business and use this as a marketing tool. For instance, we have one author, Rick Orford, who uses this instead of a business card now, like when he goes to conferences or so on, he's like, here's my book, which I love. And then there are people who are creating more kind of legacy or inspiring paces. So Areva Martin, who I spoke about earlier, who just has this amazing story. She grew up in like absolute poverty, in kind of the Southern America, and then went to Harvard, trained as a lawyer, opened her own practice, was incredibly successful, realized that she was working 14 hours a day, not doing something she was passionate about. and then became an advocate. So started going the Dr. Phil show and so on, and advocating for her son had autism and just really giving back. She's since set up several nonprofits. So we have lots of kind of people who are doing more inspiring or pieces that kind of, for instance, Dennis Andrews worked on the IBM PC and just wanting to go back and give credit to the people he worked with and what, again, tell an incredible story of what it was. And so those are kind of the two main categories, but within that, we've had such a wide range of authors. It's never boring. We had another two authors who were kind of were sucked into the inside of a pyramid scheme and trying to kind of keep the company on the straight and narrow. And they kind of wrote a romp about that. That was kind of fascinating. Yeah, it was a real kind of page turner. Oh my God, what's going to happen next? It felt very like the Wolf of Wall Street. You were a bit like, how is this happening? Is this like, you wouldn't believe it if it was in a movie. You'd be like, this is too unrealistic. So yeah, there's a lot of kind of commonalities and a lot of differences. And that's why it's important for us. We make sure there's a good fit between you and your PM, because it's really important, because they will really be with you from the very start of the process till after your book is launched, helping you with promo, keeping you informed with what, you know, how your book is doing and so on. Yeah.
So how are you able to have 100% of the books be bestsellers?
I guess, to be honest, it starts from the moment you walk into us with your concept. Like, we'll work with you to make sure it's a marketable concept. Then our first month together is us doing market research and helping you figure out how your book is different or and stands out, but it's also like there's enough of a market for it. It's funny because it is definitely that sweet spot of, okay, there's enough books out here that we know people are buying and interested, but not so much that it's like completely swamped, or if it is, what is that unique selling point that we can add to it? And then we start already from that first moment coming up with those marketing materials, which I think is a very different approach to if you're going to write a book yourself. You think, oh, this is my baby. It's going to be so beautiful. It's going to sell itself. Of course, come on. So we'll immediately start coming up with using our copywriters to get the best title and subtitle, getting a really professional cover design. And then we send that to Simon & Schuster, who they are such a behemoth that they're kind of marketing happens so far in advance that we need to get all that material straight away for them as well. I mean, it's also just really useful for us because they will start, as soon as you join with us, they'll start going out and promoting it to their different vendors and so on. And then it's a matter of, well, writing a good book. Yeah, write good content. We'll help you with that. You know, we'll keep you on track with what's marketable and what's not. And then we help through promotions. So again, we really, really know. I mean, Amazon is the number one search engine for books. And we really, really know Amazon in and out. So it's about, you know, finding the best categories. And promoting it on those. There's lots of different promotional websites and kind of knowing which ones are the right ones to use that are actually worth your money and so on. Like Facebook ads cost a fortune, so I wouldn't necessarily use those, to be honest. And I guess it's just our process and experience and knowing what works.
And one thing that people probably don't realize, you know, when you think about a best-selling book, you think, oh, it sold like a million copies, like a gold record, right? But that's not really the case. And what does it take to sort of get a best-selling book in the entrepreneurial space, like roughly?
Yeah, that's a great point. No, it's a couple of hundred books. That would be like, that will make you stand out head and shoulders, which might be quite shocking to people, but most books will sell much, much less. that will only sell a few copies. I mean, you think of how many books are released on Amazon every day, and it's just thousands and thousands. So trying to get a voice above the noise, yeah. But that's enough, because you really are just trying to sell it to your audience. For instance, one of our first books that we wrote ourselves, Outsource Your Book, we wrote that. And then a few weeks later, Po Chung, one of the founders of DHL, was like, oh, I want to write a book, and you guys seem to know what you're talking about. And so he was kind of one of our very first clients. And that is kind of marketing that you just can't pay enough for, because we would never have been able to reach him, someone with that kind of, through traditional methods, like he would have been too busy to see it. And so, yeah, I mean, I know it's really basic stuff, but always add value and give value in your book, and you will get it back tenfold.
Yeah, so true. So let's say that today I say, all right, look, I guess I should tell you, because it might be relevant, that I actually wrote a book. And
ooh,
yes. And it's more of a, it's not any kind of a story, right? It's to help female investors, women who want to invest for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't any, there's some stories, some sad tales of how I got the experience to be able to tell people how to do that. But other than that, there isn't any, it's not a story, right? It's more of a manual or a handbook or something like that. And so if that's my intention, and because it also, of course, is a credibility tool, right? If I could write a book, probably I know a little something about how to do that, right? But mm-hmm. when someone would come to you and say, okay, all I really want to accomplish with my book is to let people know that I'm good at what I do. And then what would be sort of a next step for that? Is that a logical question? Does that make sense?
That's a great question. No, that's a perfect point. So the first thing I would say is, first off, you know what you do and you know that you're good at it. So you're in a great position and yay, you should write that book. Absolutely. Because like you say, it's reputation building, putting stuff down in black and white just has a way of still convincing people. Even now we hear so much about video being king and so on, but there is something about the kind of clarity to written writing that I think is comforting to people still. And then the very first thing you need to do is you have to go to those competing titles. You have to see what's out there. You have to see what you're doing different. You have to look at those table of contents and see, okay, this is how they structured it. How am I going to structure it? Because like I say, structure is so key. I'm really curious, how did you structure it and how did the whole book writing process go for you?
Well, I wanted it to be sort of a logical progression as far as how you'd go through the actual home buying process. So I talked about, first of all, I think the niche, because when I was looking for, I was doing further research and stuff like that for the book, every single book on real estate that I could find pretty much was written by a man. And they never talked about how different it is for a woman, right? If you're thinking, I'm going to buy, a 5-unit apartment building, and you think, well, what's going to happen at 3 a.m. when someone's toilet backs up? Like, what am I supposed to do? I run over there, and there's an intimidation factor. What happens mm-hmm. when someone isn't paying their rent and I knock on the door and the guy's 8 feet tall and he's got lots of hair and muscles, and I say, excuse me, you owe me some money, right? There's just that feeling of like, yikes, can I do this without hiring out everything to men, And so I felt like that needed to be talked about. Right. I mean, I felt like that was something that women needed to understand, that you can do this, right? That this is doable, and, building your team and the different levels. When people think real estate investing, they think either I'm going to flip a house or I'm going to be a landlord, but there are actually many different ways to make money in the real estate market. So I also wanted to talk about that. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not that structured now that you asked me. There's lots like going on.
It is amazing though, which is the really important thing. And one of our authors similarly did like a book about real estate and being a woman in it. And like, she kind of made her fortune that way, and you can do it too. But that is fascinating. And I even would imagine, I know there's a lot of studies about how women just get charged more. There was this amazing talk by this man who transitioned to being a woman. And he said, this amazing thing happened after I transitioned. Suddenly my car repair costs were doubled. And it just like, I don't know if that was something you kind of experienced.
Interesting. It's very interesting. Well, I think that there is, because actually, I mean, this is about you, but this will make sense. I mean, what I'm saying is, I don't want to talk too much about me, but it's kind of interesting. It is interesting. It's going to circle back to something back to you.
Okay, sure.
Is that because, see, this is the danger, but you're also an interviewer. So it's going to interview each other here, right?
That's the point.
But this is your interview. But I used to do another phase in my life. I did importing from very male dominated countries. I imported from Egypt and Morocco, two countries that you think of as being, you know, rather male dominated kind of countries. And there was definitely a credibility test that happened when I would sit down to negotiate price with someone, and they would be testing me to see if I knew my business, but I would also be testing them to say, are they going to try to take advantage of me? And so it's interesting that you have to be confident in your abilities. And the same thing happens at a car dealership, right? I actually, funny story. And then it's all back to you after that. I was buying a used car. Right. All you, girl. I was buying a car, a used car. And I know a little about cars because my dad, you know, didn't have a son. So I got the benefit of that. And I went to test drive a car back when I was buying used cars. And I took the thing for a ride, and you could smell that it was burning oil. And so I thought, okay, this is interesting. Used car dealer. Let's see if he's the proverbial used car salesman here. And I said, you know what, blah, blah, blah. Have you already done a safety check on this? And, you know, are there any issues that I should be aware of? Oh, no, it works great. It runs great. And I said, it's funny because when I was driving it, I smelled something. It seemed like it might be burning a little oil. And the guy actually said to me, he was so aggravated. He said, you should have told me you knew something about cars.
Oh my God.
And I thought, but then I wouldn't know that you're a liar. I might never have found out what a liar you are, you know? It's like, yeah.
And I guess you just left and got a car elsewhere.
Oh yeah, did not get a car from him, obviously. Yeah.
But
just so interesting.
Didn't apologize or no?
He was mad at me. I was in the wrong because I misled him.
Yes, you misled him.
Absolutely.
Very bad.
Shame on me. But yes, so to answer your question about, you know, is there a difference? Yes, there is. But see, now I can see through this last few minutes of dialogue how great you are at the interview process. Like I can see now, like I would come to talk about look, and you, your natural curiosity, right, would perk right up, and you start asking really relevant questions that would draw out interesting information. And I'm sure, you know, you'd end up with some super anecdotes and great stories and stuff. Yeah, I'm very impressed with you, Grace.
Oh, thank you. You right back at you. It's interesting that you mentioned the anecdotes because, yeah, I think those are really, really helpful. I think our authors are a little bit nervous about using anecdotes in the book, but actually often that's a hook that the listener will really be able to get, or reader will really be able to get a concept. And also it's what makes your book so great is it's you and your experiences, and you know that is something totally unique that no one else has. And so yeah, I do love getting those anecdotes from people, and they are great. I think there's a lot of nerves at first, but people are always really happy. And it's also interesting that you mentioned that you didn't have brothers, because I had three older brothers growing up, and I think that in some ways that made me like I was always scrambling around with the boys, and I was the best at maths. I had to be, and yeah, and loved it. And so I think it really helped, because even now, even though we have worked with a lot of female authors, I would say 80%, it's probably 80-20 of our clients. And so one thing, I would love to see more women writing books. Just start, do 10 minutes a day. It's just such a great promotional material for anything else you do. Like I have a friend who wrote a book and he makes $2,000 a month from it because he made like a little course that he has on his website. He doesn't do any promotion, but it's just still there on Amazon. And his niche was actually how to pick up girls. So I don't know, maybe we could have someone out there who's thinking, I write how to pick up boys.
All right, exactly. Who's the expert on that?
yeah. yeah. So yeah.
Ah, interesting. So what do you think is your favorite part of your job? Do you have a favorite aspect of it?
Oh, well, obviously I love learning about the different spheres and getting to build that relationship. Actually, I feel absolutely privileged. Like Maurice Davidesco, he is one of our USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling authors. His book went on to be one. We worked on the promotions with that. His book was all about changing the world. He had an idea how to make the world better, and we helped him kind of clarify that idea and create it. And I worked particularly hard on that book. You know, I did a lot of extra research. I read a lot of books. And, you know, he still sends me pictures of his grandkids. I'm going to go visit him in New Jersey next time in America.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And I feel so lucky to meet these incredible people. He is a Romanian immigrant who is heavily dyslexic, can barely read or write. So even more amazing that he created this best-selling book. Made his fortunes in engineering and then decided, actually, that's not enough for me. And also made it more money from creating a chain of restaurants. And yeah. Seems
completely different, right?
Completely different. And it's just a wonderful human being. Oh, and the other amazing part of my job that I love is that moment when the book is launched and the authors are just like literally popping champagne and so excited, and getting to join in that joy is so amazing. Our newest book coming up is David Salionami. He wrote a book, first creating his own business, and then the mindset needed to do a triathlon when you're someone who wasn't athletic at all. It's really inspiring. And I don't know, there's just that moment, yeah, when their idea becomes real and out there, and sharing that is just such a privilege and a joy. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So what advice would you give people who think that they might like to have a book someday?
Oh, well, first off, just do it. yeah, I can't wait. I think most people have a good idea. So it's just about figuring out what that idea is. I would say simplify. Simplify as much as possible. I think where a lot of authors go wrong is they try and put too much in. And what's a really, really a key part of writing well is removing what isn't building on the story. Every single sentence should have a purpose. Every single story should have a purpose. In fact, part of the way we come up with the outline is you come up with every single idea you can think of for your book. And then the next section is we remove every idea that doesn't build into that coherent main theme. So always go back to your why of why you're writing that and make sure it's relevant.
Yeah, very good. And how about, you know, I'm wondering about, actually just yesterday I interviewed, or last week's episode was a gentleman who helps seniors write their memoirs. Just coincidental that, you know, we've had two publishing people reach out to me in the same time frame. But that's what he was saying too. You know, your inclination, I think, as a person who, and even though I've read a million books, right, it's still different when you start writing your own, because you want to put everything in there and make sure that everybody knows that you know all these things, or mm-hmm. that you have had all these experiences, and to make it less just strictly factual, and to make sure you put that story piece in there, right? That you, the part that's going to keep people engaged and not like feel like they're reading an encyclopedia.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
So is there any run up?
I'll have to give that a listen.
Absolutely. So if you're thinking, okay, I want to write a book someday, should I be sort of like jotting down some of those categories or something? What would make me a good, a well-prepared person who would come to you?
Ooh, yeah. Reading, anyone who, I mean, it's fine if you don't. Like I say, Moritz, he is illiterate, had never read a book. But the more you read and the more you know about what you like of the style of writing, or how they approach topic, the better you will be when it comes to writing, for sure. Yeah, so that's one thing. Another is just thinking about who your audience is. That's just such a essential topic. It's always terrifying when someone comes to you and they say, oh, everyone, because you know that means no one. So really thinking who that audience is, that would make you great. And being, yeah, I think also it's tough because you want to stick to what you love and know, but also being willing to listen, like if we tell you something more marketable, that would really help. So we're not quite, I know you mentioned earlier, are we ghostwriting? And we do ghostwriting. So we do take you from the concept. Although we also just launch books. If you've already gotten a book and you want to relaunch it because it didn't do that well the first time, or you launch it for the first time and you're not sure how to do it. So we do that too, but for the ghostwriting, but we're slightly different to if you just go to a ghostwriter and you work with them for thousands of hours and then maybe you don't get anywhere. We have a process that we've worked on. The team is very tight. We all work together and kind of help each other and are constantly refining that process to get better. So it is kind of a slightly different route. You know, there's that basketball player and it goes, trust the process. I don't know if you know that, but it's kind of a chant. And I always think of that. I'm always like, trust the process when our authors come to us, because we have done so many books at this point that we really are, you know, we're a well-oiled machine when it comes to making bestsellers. And it kind of reminds me of, there's this study where they took a bunch of pottery classes and they divided them in, I've recently taken up pottery, by the way, and I'm obsessed. It's wonderful. I would recommend it to anyone who is looking to de-stress in their lives. And they split these pottery classes in half, and they told one half of the class, make the best pot you can. And then they told the other half of the class, make as many pots as you can. And what they found is every time the half that was told make as many as you can actually produced much better results and better pots. And I think that's what's really great about coming to hybrid publishers like ours, is we've made a lot of pots. we've broken a lot of pots, and we've dropped a lot of things so that you don't have to. You really can just trust us in our process. And then I guess it's important to talk maybe about the fact that there's, you know, there's traditional publishing, which everyone knows and is wonderful, but is very gatekeeped and also takes a huge amount of time. You will spend years pitching just to get an agent. So the agent can then spend years pitching you to publishing houses. And it's a very long and winding road. And then there's self-publishing, which I actually love and I think is amazing. But the problem with that is you have to wear a lot of hats. You have to be your own project manager. So, which you, I'm sure, are aware. You have to edit. You have to come up with the marketing materials. You have to figure out your marketing plan. You have to write it itself. And then there's hybrid, which is what we do, where we will still get you into bookstores through a traditional route with Simon & Schuster, but we do it in less than a year and we do all the work for you. So if you are someone who is running a business and has very little time, you know, this is just a really easy and straightforward route. So those are kind of the various routes to get published.
Oh, Grace, would it be inappropriate for me to ask like a ballpark of how much something like that would cost somebody who wanted to, let's say that they had kind of done their own book and then they wanted to just like have you market it like I have, or somebody who just wants to say, hey, I've got a cool life, why don't you write about it or help me write about it?
No, absolutely. We have all our prices on our website, Leaders Press, just because leaderspress.com, because we're very upfront and honest about it. And we do kind of, we will discuss with people depending on your situation, because it's more important to us to get a good idea out there. But it really ranges. So if you just want to become a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestseller, you could join our anthology, create your own chapter. You'd be published with 40 other kind of really well thought of authors, and that costs $5,000. Up to launching your own book, which is $20,000, where we would do all the marketing, editing, make sure it's going to become a bestseller, versus it costs $40,000 if you want your own book from concept through to marketing. And yeah, like I said, you could go into leaderspress.com / discover, and then you'll take a little quiz that will tell you what kind of book you're suitable for, and it will tell you the cost and give you more information about it. So yeah, I would really recommend just taking a look at our website to find out more.
Would that be the first step for somebody get, rather than like normally I'd say, what if people want to get in touch with you? Would that be appropriate for people to reach out to you directly?
I'd be delighted if anyone reached out directly. Grace.O'Donnell@leaderspress.com is my email. But I would say probably more useful for you, we always try and add value, is that quiz that you can take that will tell you a little bit. You answer a little bit about what you're looking to do, what your budget is, and then we'll tell you which kind of book or process is relevant and for you.
Interesting. What else? Anything else that you would love people to know? Any questions you wish I would have asked you?
Ooh, well, I would say, so I think one of the things that really sets us apart is that we do guarantee USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling books, if that's something you want to go down. And there's a few different routes to do that if you want to do it on your own. So one way that Alinka did before is, she got together with a group of other authors, so 40 authors, and then they each had to post it to at least 2,000 followers on their social media. So that's definitely a route if you want to get that, because getting USA Today and Wall Street Journal, again, it's just that reputation building. It makes it easier for people to go, oh, this is something worthwhile reading. Or you could come up with a kind of a series of promotions using BookBub is particularly good, I find. And you could kind of gamble it and see if you could pull it off yourself. Or you could come up to someone like us, and we have our marketing just so well prepared that, yeah, we guarantee that. And what that means is that you've sold at least 6,000 copies in 1 week. So that's 6,000 readers in 1 week, when we were just discussing how a bestseller is a couple of hundred in a year. So it really is quite an achievement, and that's something I think everyone should look into, and just consider if you're at all considering writing a book.
So would you say that in general people are going to get their money back once they start selling their book if they go for the bestseller route?
Absolutely, but I would say it doesn't come direct from royalties. So one of the things that we do with you is we work to help you create link backs to your website and your courses and so on. and you will make it back through your other means. And we kind of help with that. And we give coaching and how to be more marketable and how to push those other things. But it's better as a lead gen tool than as direct royalties, I would say.
Yeah. All right, great. Okay. So Grace, you know, thank you so much for sharing all that. I mean, you definitely added value. I think anybody who's thinking about, and I say that anybody who's thinking about it, I think everybody has thought about writing their own book, right? Do you find that?
Yeah.
I've got a book in me, right? Everybody thinks they have a book. So this is a way.
You do.
Exactly. And they do. Exactly. There's some way to make your life interesting or to others, even if you need Grace's help to do so. But it's so interesting. And I'm really excited about all that you've shared. And I think that, yeah, if you're listening and you think you might like to do a book someday, I think it's absolutely worth having a conversation with Grace. You can hear what a great interviewer she is, even though I had to sort of stop her from asking me questions because this is her show. But yeah, you can just tell how she would pull the interesting, how you, Grace, would pull the interesting stories out of people and to make things that maybe might be boring if I said it myself, that you would make it sound interesting and compelling. And so that's fantastic. I really appreciate your generosity and it was fun. Great meeting you today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had a great time. This is wonderful.
Awesome. And thanks, listener, for listening. I know that you have over 2 million podcasts to choose from. So I'm so honored and excited that you were here to share this last podcast of 2021 with Grace and I. And I look forward to next year. Remember, we're launching that new format. It's going to be called Empower Your Inner Millionaire Podcast. And it's a daily format with a lot of the same guests and the same topics, but just a different daily format with just little snippets, little 10, 15 minute segments that you can listen to when you're just, you know, dropping the kids off at school or whatever. So be sure to tune in for that. I'll put, once that goes live, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And I'll also give you the info of how to reach Grace and Leaders Press and have a fantastic, wonderful 2020 New Year's Eve and New Year.